Michael J. Epstein Memorial Library, and you're listening to Freeform Radio 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
Just don't know what to do with myself. Good Sunday morning, everyone. It is 12 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. on Sunday, March the 19th, 2017, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Touch Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this edition of Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m., talking sports. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, it's 4:15 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm Donnelly Brown on another edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here, like I said, virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. And the number is 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Let's get right into college basketball. March Madness is here in all of its glory. Let's look at women's college basketball yesterday. UConn pounded Albany 116-55. Baylor pounded Texas Southern even worse, 119-30. Woo! How did they get into the March Madness? Woo! Stanford 72, New Mexico State 64. Duke 94, Hampton 31, Washington 91, Montana State 63, Louisville 82, Chattanooga 62. This is women's college basketball scores. UCLA 83, Boise State 56, Miami 62, Florida Gulf Coast 60, Kansas State 67, Drake 54. Syracuse 85, Iowa State 65. Oklahoma 75, Gonzaga 62. First upset, California ranked number 9, defeated LSU ranked number 8, 55-52. Quinnipiac. Another upset. Quinnipiac ranked number 12, defeated Marquette ranked number 5, 68-65. Tennessee 66, Dayton 57. Oregon, another upset. Oregon ranked number 10, defeated Temple ranked number 7, 71-70. And Texas A&M 63, Pennsylvania 61. In that UConn game, Collier got 24 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. Williams got 20 points, 10 rebounds, 6 steals, 5 assists, 6 assists, 5 steals, and 1 block. Samuelson, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals. Chong got 6 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Nurse got 24 points, no rebounds, 3 assists. Irwin got 3 points, no rebounds, 1 assist. Butler got 8 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, and 2 blocks. And Dangerfield got 16 points off the bench, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, no steals, and a block. UConn keeps rolling right along. What's that? I think 108 wins in a row. Something like that. Crazy. Okay, let's go right over to the men. Yesterday, Wisconsin upset. Ranked number 8, defeated Villanova. Ranked number 1. Last year's champions are not going to repeat. They got knocked out by Wisconsin 65-62. I saw them play the night before, and they didn't look too impressive. Or the game before, they didn't look too impressive then, as they eked out a victory over, I think, Mount St. Mary's. So maybe the handwriting was on the wall. Arizona 69, St. Mary's 60, West Virginia 83, Notre Dame 71, Purdue 80, Iowa State 76. Upset. Xavier ranked number 8, defeated Florida State, and they're ranked number 3, 91-66. They pounded them. Woo! Florida 65, Virginia 39. Their basket must have had a lid on it. Whatever. Gonzaga 79, Northwestern 73. And Butler 74, Middle Tennessee 65. Now, somewhere I meant to pull these out before I went on air, but I didn't. And so, therefore, you have to bear with me. I'm going to look at the other games that have been played thus far and see who is moving on, who's staying back, and all the other good stuff. Just bear with me a moment. I will find it shortly. I know I have it here somewhere in my massive files of all kinds of data. Okay, here we go. I know we have it here somewhere. Okay. Previously, Kansas defeated UC Davis. Kentucky defeated Northern Kentucky, but that was close, 79-70. UNC defeated Texas Southern. Duke defeated Troy. UCLA defeated Kent State. Oregon defeated Iowa. Louisville defeated Jacksonville State. SMU, USC upset SMU 66-65. Tough one for SMU. And Baylor beat New Mexico State. Cincinnati beat Kansas State. Wichita State beat Dayton. And Michigan defeated Oklahoma State. So there we have those teams moving on to the Sweet 16, I believe. That's 12 teams moving on there. So we're not to the Sweet 16 yet. 12 teams moved on yesterday, the day before. S- And 18 moved on yesterday, so that's the top 20. So there's got to be some more teams who are going to be moved one way or another. So anyway, I don't have that information, so I can't tell you who's going to be playing who in the next round. But anyway, it's like I said, I haven't seen a whole lot of the games, to be truthful. Based upon the regular season, it's even still more difficult. Villanova sort of sneaked into first place after Gonzaga got knocked off, and now Villanova got knocked off. Kansas, maybe. Gonzaga won their first game, and so they're moving on. Teams like Oregon and other places like that, I don't have no clue. Arizona, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, it's going to be fun to watch, so just keep watching. I have not had time to make any, and I wouldn't make any decisions or predictions or anything else, because I just don't watch that much, don't get a chance to watch that much college basketball. And the highlights don't give you enough information to tell you who's doing what to whom. And so, therefore, we'll just see what goes on. It's 4:23 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, March the 19th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved on sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
most people associate sickness with old age. So getting sick was very hard for me. It's hard for any young person.
At the age of 39, a kidney transplant saved Derek's life.
After my kidneys started to fail, you know, I couldn't even play basketball with my son, throw the football with him, just no energy. My mother, you know, had the same kidney disease, and it was hard for my kids to lose their grandmother to the same disease that they knew their father had.
35% of patients waiting for kidney transplants are African American.
Since I had a transplant now, I can walk my dog, I can shoot basketball. So many things I can do. I can go to the park with my family. We lost a lot of time. I hope that I can make that time up. We get a chance to live again.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ, eye, and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to donatelife.net.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:30 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnie Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, we covered March Madness, the ladies' scores and the men's scores. Let's go to the NBA, where there's always madness. The Thunder, 110, and the Kings, 94. The Trailblazers. The Trailblazers, 113. The Hawks, 97. The Hornets, 98, and the Wizards, 93. That's a good one for the Celtics. Celtics gain another half a game on the Wizards. The Clippers, 108. The Cavaliers, 78. The Bulls, 95, and the Jazz, 86. The Grizzlies, 104, and the Spurs, 96. The Rockets, 109, and the Nuggets, 105, and the Warriors, 117, and the Bucks, 92. So, the Celtics picked up a game on the Washington Wizards. The Celtics play in Philadelphia this afternoon, and then I believe, their next game is here in Boston against the Wizards. So, they could put a hurting on them if they can win in Philly and also beat them here. Currently, the Celtics record is 44-25, and Washington is 42-27, two games behind the Celtics. Can make it 2.5, and if they win in Boston, they can make it 3.5. That seems to be pretty good. Celtics were playing their last game against the Nets without Isaiah Thomas, and they squeaked through. And that's not unusual. You figure Thomas such a major portion of their offense and the way the offense flows, to play a game suddenly without him would obviously disrupt the flow of the game. And I saw the first period, I had to turn it off. Celtics couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, but they just rallied after that. And Jay Crowder came up with 24 points for the Celtics. Amir Johnson had 9, Horford had 14, Smart, who started in Thomas's place, had 12, Avery Bradley had 16. Terry Rozier played 23 minutes, took 8 shots, didn't make a single one. Olynyk went 4 for 6. He only played 19 minutes, however. And as I've said before, Olynyk's inconsistency has been a major problem with the Celtics' second team. Some games he looks like a world beater. Second coming of Larry Bird and Dirk Nowitzki. In other games, he just disappears. Jerebko did not score. He took a shot and didn't score. So that's 0 for 9 there for two players. Jaylen Brown played 16 minutes, but only took 2 shots. And that made him 0 for 11. And Zeller came in off the bench. He got 2 points, 3 points for the Celtics. And Gerald Green. Hey, he turned it around. He came in off the bench, had some instant offense, 4 for 8 from the floor, and 3 rebounds, got 11 points. And that was the part of the makeup of the 29 that Isaiah usually throws out there. Celtics, like I say, here again, let me see if I can find any more information on them that I'd like to pass along. If the season ended today, Cleveland would be playing Miami, and the Celtics would be playing Milwaukee. Washington would play Indiana, and Toronto would play Atlanta. With the last mentioned teams, having home court advantage in the first round. Cleveland shouldn't have any problems beating Miami, although Miami has been playing fairly well recently. And Detroit's not that far behind. They're only a half a game behind Miami as far as the playoff is concerned. Chicago, they're within hailing distance, but I don't have too much confidence that they're going to get into the playoffs. Charlotte is still trailing New York, Philadelphia, Orlando, and Brooklyn. Out west, Golden State would play Denver in the first round. That would be interesting. Denver matches up fairly well against the Celtics. I don't know about Golden State, however. But Golden State without their big man, without a big man, and without Durant could have some problems. San Antonio seems like they're in cruise control. They would play Memphis. That shouldn't be a problem. Houston would play Oklahoma City. Now, that could be tough. That would be probably the best series going into the playoffs. Houston and Oklahoma City. That could be a barn burner. And Utah and the LA Clippers would hold down would be the next seeds. Haven't seen enough of the Clippers. Haven't seen enough much of Utah either. But Utah would have home court. Now we go with Utah. Clippers have not been that impressive. Portland still has an outside shot of catching Denver. But Dallas, Minnesota, New Orleans, Sacramento, Phoenix, and the Lakers are all waiting for the ping pong balls to drop. 437 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet. www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, I shall be back.
The National Institute of Mental Health reports that one in four adults will experience a mental health disorder in a given year. By 2020, major depressive illness will be the leading cause of disability in the world for women and children. I'm Marjorie McGinn, President and Executive Director of Women in Government. I urge you to talk to your healthcare provider about early identification and treatment. Without treatment, the consequences for the individual and society are staggering. Disability, unemployment, substance abuse, homelessness, inappropriate incarceration, and wasted lives. Untreated mental illness in the U.S. results in an average cost of $100 billion annually. Common treatments for serious mental illnesses are highly effective. Between 70 and 90% of individuals have significant symptom relief and improved quality of life. Please visit womenin.government.org.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:43 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time on host Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. I'd love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay, National Hockey League yesterday. The Red Wings 5 and the Avalanche 1. The Blue Jackets 3 and the Islanders 1. That was an overtime game. The Blackhawks 2 and the Maple Leafs 1. That's overtime. The Canadiens 4 and the Senators 3. That was a shootout. The Capitals 5 and the Lightning 3. The Hurricanes 4 and the Predators 2. The Rangers 3 and the Wild 2. The Blues 3 and the Coyotes zip. The Oilers 2 and the Canucks zip. And the Ducks 2 and the Sharks 1. I still have to marvel over the way things have been going in the National Hockey League, especially between the Bruins and the Canadiens. The Bruins fire Claude Julien. He gets picked up by Montreal. The Bruins place one of the assistant coaches, Bruce Cassidy. I call him Butch. Not that we know each other that well, but anyway, I think it fits just fitting. But anyway, Cassidy gets the team rolling, and they've been playing very well. He's changed the offensive scheme, allowing the defensive men to go up ice more often than it was done under Julien. But Julien takes over the Eastern Conference Atlantic Division leading Canadiens, and he has them on a roll. I don't have how many games they won in a row, but they've been doing extremely well, and they've maintained, they won yesterday, so then the Bruins didn't play, so they now have a 6-point lead over the Bruins. The Bruins are 3 points behind Ottawa, who the Canadiens beat. So, the Bruins have obviously improved. The Canadiens are playing well under Julien. So how do you figure that? You know, Julien brings his system into Montreal, and they were already in first place. What else do you have to do to appease those who are in control over your life, as the ex-Montreal coach might ask? But anyway, I guess they weren't. The ownership or whoever didn't think they were flourishing as well as they should. And, that's a hard act to follow. You go to a team that's in first place after you just got fired from a team that was in, below third place. And your team jumps into third place and you keep this team in first place. So I can't figure it. It goes beyond. That's nothing I've ever experienced in my number of years of watching and looking at sports and commenting on it. So we'll just see what happens, how it plays out. It'll be interesting to see, how things go. I am not quite sure. What the setups will be as far as teams playing each other in the playoffs. So until I get that information, I can't. I guess Washington had the best record in the Eastern Conference, followed by Pittsburgh and the New York Rangers. who somehow or other battling for a wild card. I can't figure this out. I have no clue. I guess they're battling for a wild card because they must be in the same division, the Metropolitan Division, where Washington, Pittsburgh, and Columbus all have 90 points or more. Yeah, so Toronto would follow also as a playoff team, but the Islanders, Tampa Bay, are all within breathing room, and Florida's not that far behind either. Out west, if you're interested, Chicago leads in the Central, followed by Minnesota and Nashville. In the Pacific, it's San Jose, Anaheim, and Calgary. I want to say Cucamonga, but no, I won't say that. Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. There you go. Three fantastic cities out there in California. 448. I don't know anything about them. I just thought the names are intriguing to me. 448 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial. It's the Sunday, March 19th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. We're also on the internet at www.wmfo.org. And you got about 12 minutes if you want to give me a call. And our number, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
You can imagine how happy we all were. My wife, our three kids, and I have found the perfect apartment to rent.
My school is right down the block?
Yes, it is.
Mommy, can we go to the park anytime we want?
Anytime we want.
So, you can imagine trying to answer all their questions after the landlord turned us down.
What happened? Why can't we live there?
Why not, Papa?
What was I going to say? The landlord doesn't want families with kids in his building? We made a call to HUD and found out that being denied because we have kids is illegal. We got answers. We got help.
And we got the apartment.
If you think you've been discriminated against because of your familial status, race, color, religion, national origin, sex, or disability, call the HUD hotline, 1-800-669-9777, or go to hud.gov/fairhousing. File a complaint. Make something happen.
Fair housing is your right. Use it.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
And I'm supposed to be my friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:52 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, with Talking Sports here. In the last 8 minutes, let's focus on the Red Sox. They defeated the Twins 12-5. I don't put too much emphasis on preseason spring training games because, you know, the teams are trying to get a fix on not only their regular starters, but people who may have a chance of making the team or might wind up in the minors, depending on their performance. Yesterday, Dustin Pedroia went 2-for-2 with an RBI and a walk, and he's hitting .435 on the season. Devin Marrero went 1-for-2. He's hitting .333. Benintendi went 0-for-2 with a walk. He's and also an RBI. He also two walks. He scored a run. Two walks. He's hitting .306. Alan Craig, who I've been rooting for, 0-for-2. With a walk, and he's hitting .229. Mookie Betts, 1-for-3 with a run. He's got an RBI, got a walk. He's hitting .300. Mitch Moreland went 2-for-4 with 4 RBIs. He's hitting .310. Young went 1-for-3 with a run, and he's hitting .310. Jackie Bradley Jr., 1-for-4. He's hitting .182. Pablo Sandoval, 2-for-4, scored 2 runs, got 4 RBIs. He's hitting .333, and his 2 hits were home runs. Pablo, if you keep that up, you'll be a hero here in Boston. and the press will be able to get off your back. Oh, you'll be able to get the press off your back, along with the extra pounds that were over there at one time. Holt went 1-for-2, scored 2 runs, 2 walks. He's hitting .280. Bruce Swihart. Now, this is my pick. I'm rooting for Swihart. I'm rooting for Craig. Swihart went 3-for-5, scored a run, got an RBI. He's hitting .370. My prediction is that he will be the number 2 hitter on the Red Sox because Vasquez has options. And even though he's a better defensive catcher, probably maybe the best defensive catcher on the club, you'll probably wind up in Pawtucket when, I was going to say Providence. I know it was one of the Rhode Island cities. Pawtucket when the season begins. Swihart, based upon his bat and the fact that he isn't a terrible catcher, but needs to, improve defensively. But I'm picking Swihart on his bat. Switch hitting catcher? Come on. You got to keep him on the club. Yesterday, Porcello not having a fan. That's what I'm saying. I don't put too much emphasis on what happens in the spring training. Porcello didn't have too much of a spring training record last year either. Perhaps even worse than this year. And he winds up winning the Cy Young. Porcello went 4 innings, gave up 9 hits, 5 runs, all earned, 3 walks. He has an 8.10 ERA, but he's 2-0 on the season down there. So there you go. Bonds went 1 inning, gave up 1 hit. He's had a 1.23 ERA. Right, there you go. Everybody's moaning and groaning about the pitching staff. Pomerantz and Wright were injured, and then you add Price to that, and they're moaning, oh, we're not deep, we're not this, we're not that. Hey, we're pretty good, I think. if Porcello's sale hold up their end, and they're potentially, in my estimation, 2 20 game winners. Wright made the All-Star team last year. Another 20-15 game winner. Eduardo Rodriguez, the sky's the limit with him. You could question, will he stay healthy? And then I would say Pomerantz in the bullpen because I thought Price would be starting. Pomerantz, 10, 12, 15 wins. That'd be good. It depends on how they hit. Are they going to hit? Get timely hits, or are they going to be more like when they were in the playoffs last year against Cleveland? I don't know whether it was good Cleveland pitching or stage fright for a lot of the young guys or whatever. I guess another thing that I'm concerned about is Xander Bogaerts playing in the WBC. This team is still winning, I guess, and they still have a chance. And I'm not giving you WBC scores because, to me, it's meaningless. It's a moneymaker for somebody, but doesn't mean much to me. Anyway, Olympics is a different thing because, everything stops for the Olympics. Here again, these teams are trying to get their clubs together, and they've got, major components playing elsewhere. If they want to play the WBC, do it after the World Series and do it in warm weather climates and things like that. Oh, there won't be, or indoor stadiums, whatever. But anyway, in the middle of spring training to me. You know, I'm more interested in what's happening in spring training, as far as individual players are concerned, than what teams are doing. And WBC does not fit the mold as far as I am concerned. 4:57 here on WMFO in Medford. Let's talk New England Patriots. Got an email from my son, Scott, yesterday, the day before, whenever. Anyway, talking about the virtues of Rex Burkhardt. Who? Rex Burkhardt. The Patriots signed Rex Burkhardt, who is a special teamer plus running back for the Cincinnati Bengals last year. He's been in the league 4 years. And this is the last year, near the end of last year because of injury, but the first chance he got a chance to really run the ball, primarily a special team player. And his numbers were off the wall, averaging over 4 yards per carry. Now, I just assumed that he would be somebody that they're going to pick up to, you know, fill in on the special teams because they lost Barkevious Mingo. And I haven't heard anything about Brandon Bolden yet. And I'm assuming they were going to sign LeGarrette Blount. But it seems like they've given this guy a whole lot of money, more than they gave Blount. So will Blount go elsewhere? Will they try to re-sign him? What's the story here? Adrian Peterson is still out there in the loose. Seattle had a chance to, sign him up, and they went for Lacy instead from, where's Lacy from? Green Bay. So it will be interesting to see what happens. Belichick has got A+ thus far, as far as off-season acquisitions are concerned, and the odds have dropped significantly on the Patriots. They went from 5-1 to repeat as Super Bowl champions to 4-1 to repeat as Super Bowl champions by the guys out there in Vegas. So things are looking pretty good. We signed Dante Hightower. We still have the potential of getting players for Butler or signing Butler or whatever. And nothing as much has been mentioned about Jimmy Garoppolo. So everybody waiting to see what happens with Romo and Cutler and other guys like that. So anyway, sitting in pretty good shape, I would think. So we'll have to just wait and see what takes place. Okay, 4:59 is the Don Brown Perspective on Sports Time. Time to put the wraps on this edition. And we'll be back next Sunday with more sports talk. And invite you to stay tuned for Sounds of Praise. We have a fantastic program. More new music and top hits of the year 2017. You stay tuned for that.